Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about our guest, Dr. Charles Simone. He's one of the few individuals on the planet with formal training in medical oncology, radiation oncology, immunology. His expertise in nutrition, cancer prevention, cancer detection, and is one of the first physicians to champion integrative medicine. Dr. Simone combines effective, conventional, alternative modalities, and that's the way to do it. Dr. Charles, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So 80,000 Americans in 2017 died from the so-called normal flu. Now, that sounds outrageously high to me.
Well, normally every year in this country, we see 40 or 50,000 deaths from the normal flu all the time.
Why isn't the media bringing that out as a story? They're making this coronavirus sound like it's the end of the world.
Oh, they want to sell newspapers.
Jeez.
Now, you know, the key thing, though, with the coronavirus today is I just learned that China has shut down the exit and entrance of their own people, not only from the front province that you mentioned and the city, but also the country. That's what I understand. And the most important thing that we learned recently is that the incubation period is no longer 2 to 5 days, but rather 1 to 14 days. And during that incubation period, the person who is infected has no symptoms whatsoever and still is contagious. So they could come into this country weeks ago, had no symptoms, and now are contracting the virus, or even in China. So the key thing is we need to watch these people who have come into our country from several weeks ago, not when they declared the emergency, but several weeks ago when they were transporting themselves back and forth, and watch them find out where they've been, who they've been contacting, and so we can see. Now, we're seeing more and more people in our country pop up with this virus. I think it's still underreported. People are going to view it as the normal flu and not the so-called coronavirus in the emergency rooms around the country and around the world. The key thing, again, 2-week period of incubation. They are symptomatic. Mm-hmm. They're not symptomatic, rather, and they're contagious. That's the key thing.
Well, we've got, what, 5 confirmed cases in the U.S. already?
At least that.
That we know of.
That's what we know of. Again, like I said, people going into the ER with the flu-like syndrome or their primary care doctor, the doctor may not recognize it as coronavirus, not even think about it as coronavirus.
Exactly.
So they're going to view it as flu-like syndrome, period, which it is, but they're not going to identify it as such. So the numbers that are being reported by China and the numbers being reported here are probably far less than what the actual numbers are.
Just by looking at someone, doctor, coughing and wheezing, can the average person tell the difference between a coronavirus and the regular flu?
No, not at all. They're very similar in how they present themselves in the emergency room or in the primary care doctor. But there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself. We can't rely on our government. We can't rely on statistics and computer models. There is a computer model, by the way, that shows that at least 200,000 people have already been infected. Far cry from the 3,000 reported by the Chinese government. So the computer model suggests 200,000. That's probably close to it. Perhaps we don't know that. But we need to help ourselves. We need to protect ourselves, enhance our immune system with certain vitamins and minerals like antioxidants, the carotenes, lutein, lycopene, copper, zinc. These are the key things. Even zinc by itself has been shown in hundreds of thousands of patients in multiple studies. If they take zinc 50 to 70 milligrams once a week, you can not only decrease the risk of contracting the virus, but also the risk of mortality from a virus. And that's being done all around the world in general, and that's what we have looked at for a long time now. Zinc lozenges are also another form of administration of zinc, getting the zinc exactly to where you need it in the oral pharynx.
Doctor, the mortality rate is about 2.8% based on the numbers in China. Is that unusually high for a virus?
No, it's not. But again, these numbers, I think, are quite underreported. So we're going to see much higher numbers soon.
Has China been doing all it can? I kind of think maybe they knew about this before anybody else did, before.
It's written that the virus was known in early December, and we just heard about it from China a week ago or so.
And I had heard that maybe it came from a snake in a market or a bat. What do these people eat?
From an animal to a human, but it really doesn't matter. Now it's gone airborne from human to human. Key thing also is when you see somebody who might be infected or who is suspected to be infected coming from a province in China, you might stay away from them while they're talking to you. The droplets coming from their saliva when they speak
about
5 feet have these latent viruses. So you need to keep your distance when people are talking to you who you might think might be infected. Also, wash your hands and, importantly, wash your face. Viruses, we keep touching our face all the time, so we need not only to wash our hands, but also our face.
What concerns you the most, Charles, about this situation?
Well, the fact is, it's a new virus. It's probably going to be one of the many 200 viruses that will be part of the flu-like syndrome in our country around the world. There's already 200 known viruses that can cause flu-like syndrome. This may be simply another one added to it. 201 viruses causing this. The problem we have with vaccines, at best, flu vaccines might be effective only against influenza A and B at this point, and that represents only about 10% of all circulating viruses that cause the flu-like syndrome. Even if we developed a vaccine here with the coronavirus, vaccines are effective for the virus it was made from. 10 to 14 days later, there's a new mutation of the virus. So the vaccine that you just made today will not be effective in a person 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later.
What are the possibilities that this is some kind of pharmaceutical scam to get a vaccine out?
Well, there's two companies that have been in the news media talking about a new vaccine for this drug, for this virus. So who knows about that? You know, I really don't know that for sure. The point is, don't rely on vaccines. Rely on things that you can do yourself.
Absolutely.
Good hygiene.
What's going on these days with Big Pharma, Doctor?
Big Pharma, you know, we have seen for a long time that Big Pharma says that a drug to take to market costs $1.3 billion. And that's been a myth, as shown by Andrew Witty of the pharmaceutical industry from GlaxoSmithKline. He says of that $1 billion, it's one of the greatest myths of the industry. It's not been shown to be the case at all. When you look at the actual cost, the high amount of profits that a big pharma would have made if they invested in stocks and bonds is $650 million. So you subtract that $650 from $1.3 billion. That leaves you with $650 million. Taxpayers subsidize the greatest amount of these dollars through academia, through public laboratories like the U.S. National Institutes of Health, CDC, et cetera. All that information is in the public domain that Big Pharma can grab for free. There are credits and tax deductions that are granted to the Big Pharma as well. When you subtract those dollars, taxpayer dollars, from the $650, you're down to $325. And the bottom line is it costs about less than $125 million to bring a drug to market. So that's the big scam there. But let's look at the most important drugs that cost the most to American taxpayer. There's 10 of them that are administered in the hospitals and 10 administered by doctors in their offices. When you look at these drugs, I've color-coded it for your listeners. When you look at these drugs, you can go to Dr. Simone. .com and look up the reports on this. When you look at this, you will find that the key thing is we know that many of these drugs have minimal effectiveness. For instance, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
Hepatitis C. Everyone thinks we're curing it. What the pharmaceutical companies call as cure is simply this. If you can decrease the viral load for about 12 weeks after the drug is administered, then you call it a cure. That's what they call it, a cure. Now, that's simply not the case at all. But the point is, They've not changed the outcome. They've not changed the morbidity of the virus. They simply lowered the amount of this virus in the bloodstream. That doesn't help us. The cost of this drug in this country is $98,000. The cost of it in India is $78. Same drug.
Whoa.
$78 in India, $98,000 in this country. That's a 12-week course of treatment. So that is what we have to start getting after.
That's crazy.
That's terrible. Terrible. And that's what we have to start looking at. Again, there's 20 of these drugs that consume the most amount of money. And in this PDF format that I have, I've color-coded these drugs and showed that certain drugs don't even work. Some should be used. And others, if you're going to use them at all, then shop around. In Canada, these drugs are almost half of what we pay here. In the UK, it's even less. And in India, it's a fraction of it all.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.